This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani this morning. It's now 7:46 and you're listening to The Morning Run. We've got Sharad Kutan on the breakfast grill shortly, and he's going to be speaking to Dato' Teng Chang Kim, who is an exco member for the Selangor State Government and also looks at the portfolio for investment, industrial commerce and transportation.
So it's very timely because just this morning we know that transportation in the Klang Valley has been improved substantially because of the extension of the Ampang Projet line. But of course, this is regarding how Selangor is going to affect that public transportation business for the public. It's worth noting also that Dato' Teng Chang Kim was the first non-Malay, non-Bumiputra to be the Speaker of the House of Selangor. He was also criticised by his own party, DAP, for accepting the Datuk-ship award because it's not customary for DAP politicians to accept a Datuk-ship award. He has been a trailblazer for the Selangor business, Selangor political scene.
That's a very interesting story that we should follow up with. Mm. Why DAP lawmakers don't want that Datuk-ship. I think we should look deeper into that.
Flip side, why Teng Chang Kim accepted that Datuk-ship award when he was given that.
But nevertheless, going back to the grill, which is where Teng Chang Kim represents the commerce and transportation for the Selangor State Government, I guess they are in a good place because I guess there are some alignment of interest here between the Selangor State Government and the federal government as far as transportation policies are concerned. I mean, one of the highest GDP states in Malaysia, and all those MRT projects, transportation hubs and so on, they have their work pretty aligned with the federal government. Yeah.
But also, I mean, it's not without controversy, Julian, because, you know, you've got KIDEX and DASH and all that, getting public response. So I guess lots to discuss with Dato' Teng Chang Kim on the breakfast grill. You're going to want to listen to that, so don't miss it. It's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But looking at the local corporate landscape, Malaysia Airlines has appointed its COO, Peter Bellew, as the new chief executive as of today. So current CEO Christoph Muller, who had initially said he was going to leave in September, will step down immediately.
And I think this is quite timely because an outgoing CEO would be less effective as compared to an incoming CEO. And therefore, I think the announcement of Peter Bellew taking charge as of today would be the right time to take over.
A bit surprising though, because, you know, Muller said he would stay for the 2 years, right? So September will mark 2 years of his contract. It's a year earlier than when he had intended the contract to finish. But now he's leaving even earlier than expected.
And I think there is some semblance of continuity there because Peter Bellew has been working quite closely with Christoph Muller for the last 2 years or so. And I don't think that there would be very big changes when Peter Bellew takes over.
Actually, the 2 years that they've been working together is in Malaysia Airlines. They've been working together even longer.
That's right.
Before that, Peter Bellew
was
in Ryanair. He was head of the sales and marketing there. He was also the deputy director of flight operations in Ryanair, and also the director of the training and recruitment business there as well. So he has, you know, all the pedigree needed to lead a company like Malaysia Airlines. But as we know, Malaysia Airlines is a highly political kind of business. I don't know whether he's up for that.
I hope you're not equating Malaysian Airlines to Ryanair, the budget airline, right? That would be a slap in the face of Malaysian Airlines.
What do you guys think about the Bloomberg headline? This is the third CEO for Malaysia Airlines in 2 years. When I read that, it really struck me because I was like, oh yeah, it is the third CEO in 2 years. Yeah. It doesn't bode well for people reading this.
Well, let's hope that Peter Bellew doesn't resign for personal reasons, because that would be really bad for Malaysian Airlines. It would reflect that there is no stability, no continuity there. At least now we are getting more of the same in that Bellew-Muller party. We're still getting some of that good management.
Yeah, and of course, we have had a chat with Christoph Muller on the breakfast grill. You can listen to that grill at bfm.my/mas, and we use mas, not MAG or MAB.
MAB, right? MAB, Malaysia
Malaysian Aviation Group is also the parent company of MAB. So yes,
alphabet soup, but MAS is how we know it, and that's the you can find the link there. Okay, MRCB Quill Real Estate Investment Trust, or MQ REIT, is acquiring Menara Shell in KL from MRCB for 640 million ringgit in cash. Now, which Menara Shell is this, Ibrahim?
So this is on Jalan Tun Sambatan. It's very close to the new central building, and it's also very close to the KL Central setup. And, you know, if you remember, the whole entire KL Central kind of buildings are all connected with the MRCB property developer. So I guess this is part of them consolidating their properties there.
So it's a very nice arrangement because MRCB would develop the property, and in the stages of development, the property would be kind of unstable because you would have to take business risks for it. But once the building is rented out, and this building, Menara Shell, has almost 100% occupancy rate, it would then follow that the building is stabilized, and that would be a good time to transfer that to a REIT. Of course, Malaysia has got very strong rules about arm's length deals between the sponsor, in this case MRCB, and the REIT, which is the acquirer. Only shareholders are allowed to vote for that sale, right? They would want to take up this building because it's a well-managed building. And in fact, MRCB is also going to take up a stake in, extra stake in the REIT and EPF too. And the yield is 7.5%. It's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. And then back to that point of this being a well-managed building, it is actually, with a net lettable area of over 500,000 square feet. They have a 99.9% occupancy rate. Their gross rental income is close to 50 million. As of last year, and they have a core strong tenant, Shell. Despite the fact that the oil and gas business is extremely weak globally, this building, Menara Shell, has defied the odds of winding down oil and gas company,
okay,
and ensuring that that particular building is well occupied.
Also,
well,
location, right? Location.
And the concept, yeah. I mean, MRCB has developed that new central area as a kind of key concept, being a transportation hub, has made that location very attractive to a lot of the staff working there, to the buildings that are located there.
7:53 right now, and the World Bank has released its report on Malaysia, the Malaysian Economic Monitor. And according to that report, they say Malaysia's economy remains resilient, with a GDP projected to grow by 4.4% this year and 4.5% next year. However, that's not the, that may be the silver lining, but there are other areas in the Economic Monitor that also require some focus as well.
Yep, and one of them is that the World Bank has also said that the civil servants' wages have exceeded budget in 2015. They say that the ability for the government to slash subsidies and raise taxes to narrow the fiscal deficit has not overcome the fact that we are paying a lot for civil servants.
Okay, I think that bit also is very important. The fact that the federal government paid in excess of their budget, right? So they had budgeted a certain amount and they exceeded the budget by 8.5%. But what's more worrying is the fact that this is a trend. It's been happening for the past 3 years. Every year, the federal government exceeds its budget on what the wages that it will pay for its civil service. So it means the civil service is getting bigger and bigger every year with no... I mean, when will this trend stop, right?
Yeah, they really have to look into that. And really is kind of a house of cards right now, because they want the engine of growth to be on the consumption side. But if global sentiment is quite weak and the ringgit is weakening, it does have some impact, negative repercussions on consumer sentiment,
right,
going forward.
Yeah, and it's really hard because, you know, they're in this, on one hand, they're trying to slash subsidies, they're trying to be more fiscally disciplined, they want to raise taxes. And on the other hand, you've got salaries and bonuses going up for the civil service. Granted, a lot of the civil service are struggling with the rising cost of living, but then again, all of us are.
Yeah, and to contrast this, right, the DB or Deutsche Bank has issued a research paper saying that they are extremely worried about Malaysia's rising contingent liability. They're trying to contrast two things here. Fiscal deficit may have gradually fallen over the years. It used to be over 5% in 2010. Right now, it's hovering about 3% fiscal deficit. But they do say that the public sector debt remains extremely elevated, close to even 75% of recent years. And I think because of that, it's not just the personal consumption debt that is worrisome. It's also that private sector debt being elevated that is cause for concern for our rising contingent liability risk.
Okay, we've got the Bank of China in the news this morning because they want to sell their Malaysian and Thai assets to its Hong Kong subsidiary for about $887 million. Of course, Bank of China is trying to restructure its business in Southeast Asia.
So they will sell the Malaysian and Thai assets to its Hong Kong subsidiary, and this company will get a lot of businesses through their key region initiative called the Belt and Road Initiative. And I don't know whether this is something that will benefit them in the long run, because a lot of companies are actually trying to get into the Southeast Asian business, but Bank of China is trying to restructure it in a very different way.
Isn't this a left-hand to right-hand kind of deal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a left-hand, right-hand kind of deal. And I think for them to actually do this in this moment of time is also extremely interesting, because we have that uncertainty coming in from Brexit and other global market issues. But for them to do it now, maybe they're capitalizing on that notion that, you know, while it's chaos everywhere, now is a good time to do, you know, housekeeping, essentially.
Are they very big in this part of the world? I mean, Bank of China, would you consider them, you know how Maybank and CIMB are going gangbusters into ASEAN? Is Bank of China on a similar trajectory?
Well, if you did a survey in the office and ask how many people hold a bank account with Bank of China, right? I think the answer you get is zero. But a lot of these Chinese banks follow their clients. The Chinese are so involved in funding Malaysian infrastructure right now. It makes sense for some of those banks to set up an office here just to cater to the clients from China.
But now, it's worth noting that SME businesses in Malaysia, they would like to normally have a Bank of China account. It's because of the fact that when they do trading in the south of China, in Shenzhen, in Guangzhou, and many of them have to transfer money there, it's easier for them to have an account with Bank of China. So I guess this may cater towards that SME business segment there.
On a bigger issue, I think that a lot of people are issuing a kind of doomsday scenario for the crash of China as well. I mean, we are very well aware of George Soros' statement, but another guy, actually very controversial personality, and Andy Sieh, who slightly more than a decade ago implied that Singapore was a money laundering center, and he was subsequently fired from his job with Morgan Stanley at the time. And now he's saying that China is headed for a kind of 1929 style depression. So scary words.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.